The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to go there to wake him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been placed in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to where the tomb was to weep there. When Mary came there and Jesus saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel accounts of Jesus' visits to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we can see that it was a place of rest and understanding and peace for him, a place he could put his feet up, a place he could chill. Three people lived there who loved him, and he loved them back. So when Lazarus got ill, the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." We can imagine the high hopes and the natural expectations they had when they sent word to their friend Jesus that their dear brother was ill. How many stories had they heard, perhaps even witnessed, of Jesus coming to a home and healing someone? And those were strangers. Yet day after day passed, and he did not arrive. And we can imagine how those high expectations turned into questions. We can well imagine the sisters' grief and confusion when their brother died. We hear that personal disappointment in the first thing both Martha and Mary say to Jesus when he does finally arrive. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That each of them greeted him in that same way shows us how much this was on their hearts and minds. Have you experienced this sense of confusion and disappointment, this crisis of faith? "Lord, I called for you. Where were you?" Do you know what it's like when what seems like a good and right prayer has gone unanswered? When the Lord has not come through for you in a timely way, in a way that you can understand? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." If this is a statement of disappointment, then it's also about hope and faith. We can only be disappointed, after all, if we have hope and expectation. "Lord, if you had been here," well, that is also an affirmation through tears of what the Lord can do. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And she continued, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Do you hear this? She's telling Jesus that she still believes in him, even though he did not arrive in time to heal Lazarus. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." And then Jesus said this remarkable and dangerous thing to her, the kind of thing that made the religious authorities angry, which set him a step closer to the cross. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, if Martha had faith in Jesus as an amazing miracle-working friend who was close to God, and if she believed that in God's future there would someday be a resurrection, well, then here Jesus is calling her to something deeper. Jesus is calling on her to believe that he himself is the resurrection. "I am the resurrection and the life," he told her. "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this, Martha?" And she said, "Yes. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." She gets him, and she believes in him, even though her brother is wrapped in grave clothes in a tomb. Through disappointment and confusion, Martha believes. In those shattering times when our good and loving prayers are not answered with yes or right now, I pray that we will stand with Martha and trust and believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that his eyes see farther than ours do, that there is a bigger picture in God's hands, and that those hands can be trusted. Weeping, greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved, Jesus came to the tomb. He told those watching to roll away the stone covering the opening. Martha steps in to remind him of the reality of her brother's body, which has been dead for 4 days. There was a belief that when a person died, their spirit would linger for 3 days, but on that fourth day, no possibility of life remained. So Martha, the realist, warns Jesus. In the King James Version, she says, "Lord, he stinketh." Through his tears, Jesus said to her, "Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus prayed to God and then shouted into that tomb where there was no pulse, no life, no hope. He shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. And here we see that our Lord and Savior has all authority in heaven and on earth, even authority over death itself. And someday, Jesus will shout, "Valerie, come out. Paul, come out. Sam, come out." Insert your own name and hear Jesus calling you and your loved ones from death into the life that knows no end. The raising of Lazarus points us to the power and love of our Savior and to eternity. But this account also meets us here because we have tomb-like places in our lives too, and it can be hard to get out of them by ourselves. What can we learn about our here and now journey from this account? Let's look closely. Notice, Jesus had told the crowd to roll away the stone in front of the tomb. Is he calling you to take away the stone in front of someone's tomb? To create an opening for someone, some light for someone in darkness, to remove an obstacle, to open a door to an opportunity or a new way of being? Notice also the detailed description of Lazarus coming out of the tomb. First, we are told his hands are bound with strips of cloth. Do you know someone who is hurting so much that it is as though their hands are wrapped and bound? They're not able to reach out. They cannot touch another person with love or kindness. Are you the one who will reach out to them? Second, we're told that Lazarus's feet are bound with strips of cloth. Oh, we can get stuck in difficult places in life. Addiction, harmful relationships, resentments, and have a very hard time walking out of them, as though our feet, our mobility, our ability to stride forward in life are wrapped and bound. And third, his face is bound in a cloth. Do you know someone in such darkness that they cannot see the light, that they cannot look upon the world with hope, cannot see possibility, cannot see what God is doing in their lives? Or are you in such a place yourself? And finally, this detail. Jesus didn't tell Lazarus to unwrap himself. He told those around him to unwrap those grave clothes. He's calling us to do the same, to reach out to the one who cannot reach out, to help each other be free, to serve and grow and work and play, to help each other see the world around us and what God would have us do in it. Rolling away stones, unwrapping the bound places, helping each other walk into the light of God's grace and purpose. This is Christian community. This is what faithful people do with one another. The raising of Lazarus has taken us to many places this morning. We have seen the power of Jesus to bring life out of death. We have a glimpse of resurrection and the grace of caring community. And also, we are nudged toward Holy Week. If we read the rest of the chapter, we will see that many believed in Jesus because of this miracle, but others went to tell the Pharisees, and plans were made to put Jesus to death. Next week, we wave palms, and we continue to walk with our Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen.